Well, as I say, we're looking at verse 20 this evening. As for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but is temporary. And when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately he falls away. We're going to look at this verse in four parts. We're going to think about who this person is, what it is that they're missing, how they might know that thing that they're missing. And then finally, for each of us, how do we know if we have that thing? I trust all will become clear as we proceed. I'm sure we all know from our own experience what it's like to seemingly have everything and yet not that one thing. I'm sure you know what it's like. You think in the case of the toddler, they've got everything they could possibly want, haven't they? Their meals are brought to them. They're even tucked into bed. And yet when they don't have that toy, oh, they could melt away and die, couldn't they? The wailing. They think, how can I be satisfied? How can I live unless I have this one thing? Think about the teenager, maybe. How can I live? How can I be satisfied? I have everything, but I don't have a girlfriend. You know what it's like. Or maybe the grown man or woman who has everything possible, and yet I've got to live there. I've got to live in that place, to go and live there amongst those people, or else how can I live? You see, there's all kinds of things in our lives that are like that, aren't there? Where we forget that we have everything because of this one thing that we want above everything. Well, here this evening, we are taken to the very sorry case of the person who thinks they have everything and has nothing. It's a frightening prospect to think that you have everything and that you have nothing. Who is that person? Look with me at the verse. Such a person hears the word. Such a person hears the voice of Christ speaking to them out of the scriptures. Such a person receives the word. They hear, and there is a level of understanding. They make sense of what God is saying to them. They receive it. And more than that, they receive it with joy. They are happy. Such a person lives what Christ commands them. They begin to follow in the way that Christ has told them, because we learn later on in the verse that tribulation, persecution arise on account of the word. Because such a person is seemingly walking in that way, they're persecuted. It's not just coincidental. Such a person hears the voice of Christ, responds, begins to follow after him, is happy, and yet possesses nothing. By those characteristics, we might rightly infer that such a person is here amongst us this evening. Such a person would be sat here. Is that you, I wonder? Thinking you possess everything and yet have nothing. Think it over carefully with me. How fooled, how deceived such a person is. To actually be happy, thinking that we're deriving some benefit from Jesus, thinking that we have eternal life, all the blessings that he brings, and yet not having them. How bitter and twisted that is. How awful. And they're exposed, aren't they? They're exposed the second it gets difficult. The second it gets difficult, they find out, we find out exactly who that person is. Now, it might be that such a person has gone on a long time in this way. We're not told here. Because it's persecution, it's tribulation, it's when the world presses in on that person because of Jesus that they fall away. Such a person may have gone through perhaps a spell of illness, setting their hope, they think, on Christ, thinking, it's the hope of heaven that gets me through this. I'm trusting in him. I've endured suffering. Well, not this kind of suffering. Not for Christ's sake. We all know people, I'm sure, who believe all kinds of things. And as long as they have hope in the midst of their illness, that hope gets them through, doesn't it? It doesn't really matter what it's in, but it's that hope. Do you think it's any different with the Christian faith? Of course it's not. It's the human condition. We are experts at setting our hope falsely in things, of assuring ourselves of all kinds of things, and such a person is this. Why then? Why is it that as soon as this pressure comes, this person falls away, turns away from Christ, and runs, as it were? Consider who this person is. They are the rocky ground. The rocky ground. Beneath the surface, there are rocks. Beneath the surface, there is a hard and impenetrable lump. Beneath such a person's heart, maybe one of us here this evening, there is a hardness of heart. And that hardness is a desire, a seeking after their own gain, their own life here and now. How can we know this? Well, look at the verse. It is immediately when tribulation or persecution comes on account of the word that they fall away. Immediately, when it costs something, they turn away. Because all the while they've been getting something out of this. Maybe this is your experience of the Christian faith. All the while you've been getting something out of this. What was it that brought you here in the first place? Was it the fellowship? Such happy, welcoming people. So kind, so generous. We help one another, don't we? And so it's all so easy to slip in, to begin to speak the language while still in your heart it is a desire for selfish gain. Seeking our own gain there, lying beneath the surface, to get something in return. This is just the state of those people in Ezekiel chapter 33, isn't it? Those people who sought their own gain. They came to listen because it was entertaining. It was interesting. Well, maybe we wouldn't be charged with that here this evening. But there's something attractive, isn't there? Something interesting about this. Whatever this is, people do come in and they listen. And if there's something to be gained by it, well, maybe we'll just stay a little longer. And here you are this evening. Is that you? Is that you who has still in your heart this rock? And yet think what you're doing. Think what you're doing. So you're trampling underfoot the very thing you claim to believe. Christ, who actually did die a horrible, gruesome death. You're mocking him, laughing at him. Look what he's done for me, you say. And yet you're like a mist or a fog. We've seen that recently, where you see there's a great carpet of fog, isn't there? And you think that's impenetrable. You can't even see to drive in it. You give it a few hours and it's gone. It's vain. There's nothing in it. It's just breath. So is such a person. But there's a deeper reason There's a problem with such a one. No root. No root. There is something fundamental to our condition, to your condition this evening. No root. No life-giving property within you. That is what a root is, isn't it? It brings forth life. And to be temporary. Oh, what a description for a human being made in the image of God. To be temporary. Such a one is called temporary. That is not that there is no existence after death, but that what you call your life, all that you have, all that you want, all that you live for, all your desire for selfish gain, it's temporary. It's going to come to an end. No life and temporary. And I say that there is a deeper reason, a deeper reason within us why it is then that we would be as this rocky ground, that we would seek our own gain, that we would slip in and be altogether happy to mock Christ. Being a happy hypocrite, if you will, there is a reason beneath. And it's this reason that we are here this evening. It is this reason that we are going to focus on for the rest of our time. The reason is told us in that strange middle section that we want to skip over. The reason is this, verse 11. It has not been given to you to know the secrets, the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. Jesus answered them, to you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but to them, the ones not bearing fruit, the ones who are hard of heart, who have a rocky heart, to them it has not been given. That is the reason. At the very base of our condition, of your condition, why it is that your heart is hard, because there is something you don't know, something you don't understand and grasp. And in this case, the sad reality is that such a person thinks they do grasp it. Last time, we talked about what it meant to understand, to grasp this, and we said that it was like putting two and two together, putting two parts of the jigsaw together. And that is what it is, but it's so much more than that. It's not less than that, but it's so much more than that. If you would know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, you need to do more than just put two and two together. Something needs to be done to you. So 3 points from here. What is the mystery? How is the mystery known? And do I know the mystery? What is the mystery? Verse 11. To you it has been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. It is of the kingdom of heaven. These things, whatever they are, they concern the kingdom of heaven. The way of God, the coming of God into this world, the blessings of God, access to God, the way of God then. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are the meek. This is the way of the kingdom. Jesus taught this. It is so foreign to human ears, so incomprehensible to us. This is his way. The coming of the kingdom. Did Jesus not say to the Pharisees, the kingdom of God has come upon you? He was stood there right before them. And yet, all along, his followers, they were looking for a physical kingdom. They weren't interested in suffering and death. They wanted a physical kingdom here and now. And yet the way of the kingdom, the coming of the kingdom, is now invisible, spiritual, internal, made visible in the church, but this is not what we will be. One day will be the glory, but it's not now. The way of the kingdom, the coming of the kingdom, the blessings of the kingdom. Oh, how such a person thinks they understand this. Look what Christ has done for me, they were saying. Look what he's done for me. Look at how he's brought me into the family of God. How he's loved me. And yet, what is missing? What is missing? What is the blessing of the kingdom? Jesus said to that man who was completely paralyzed, "Take heart, son. Your sins are forgiven." That is the blessing of the kingdom. The forgiveness of sins. Eternal life. What could be farther from the mind of such a one? The way, the coming, the blessings, access. Remember that man who came to Jesus and he said, "Teacher, what good deed must I do to have eternal life?" That's what we're like. We think, what must I do? What do I need to do? How does Jesus answer such a question in the Gospel of Matthew? It's your faith that has made you well. It is come, receive from me, believe on me. You don't need to earn your way into the kingdom. But you must receive. You must open your hands and come and take freely. The mysteries of the kingdom. All of these things, they're mysterious. They're mysterious to us. They're hidden from us. We can't grasp it unless God opens our eyes. So they're of the kingdom, but they are secrets, aren't they? Mysteries hidden from our sight. Now we've got to pause for a moment and wonder then. How lightly we take this. How lightly do we take these mysteries, these secrets? I'm sure as I went through those things, you thought, yeah, I know that. Maybe as I talked about what was said in the Sermon on the Mount, you thought, I know those things. Do you? Is it in vain that God calls them secrets, mysteries, things that are hidden, obscured? Do you seriously think that you're smart enough to penetrate into the eternal counsels of God and understand this? This is what is hidden from the mind of man. This is what is hidden and concealed in these parables that Jesus tells. The way, the coming, the blessing, the access into the kingdom. This is what Christ has come to reveal. So mysterious are these things, so hidden, so secret, that as Jesus came and taught these things, he got more and more specific, he got more and more clear. Three times, he actually stopped his disciples, took them aside and explained to them this mystery. He took them aside and explained to them what this mystery is. As Jesus was going up to Jerusalem, he took his 12 disciples aside, and on the way he said to them, "See, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be delivered over to the chief priests and the scribes, and they will condemn him to death and deliver him over to the Gentiles to be mocked and flogged and crucified, and he will be raised on the third day." Said the disciples. And off they went. What about Peter? Peter took the Son of God aside and began to rebuke him. What did Christ say? "Get behind me, Satan, if you're not setting your mind on the things of God, but the things of man." So hidden are these things that even when Christ explains to you, time and time again, what is this mystery? What are these secrets? We can't understand. So hidden are these things that even at the greatest moment in the history of the world, when Jesus was hung up on a cross for all the world to see, what did men say? They looked straight into the heart of God. They saw straight in to the most mysterious, unimaginable mystery being shown to the whole world. He saved others, but he couldn't save himself. They couldn't understand. Friends, you can't understand this. I can't understand this unless God would give understanding. This is the mystery. The mysteries, they are many, but they all flow back to this one point. Elsewhere in the scriptures, therefore, they are called the secret, the mystery. They all flow back to this one point, to this one man. Here, in the very body of the Lord Jesus Christ, we find the mystery. We find in him all the glory, all the majesty, all the strength, all the power of God, veiled, hidden in the frame of a man. There, if you look, you are looking at a mystery. Behold my servant, says God. Look at him. And what do you see? Do you see him? Do you see the mystery? Do you understand the mystery? The angels announced this mystery. The angel Gabriel crystallized this mystery into a single sentence, speaking of Christ. He said, "You shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." There, he told the world, he told Joseph, and through him the whole world, what this mystery is. This man, in whom all the kingdom of heaven is found right here, yet hidden to human eye. We cannot perceive it here. And what is it about him? It's his great power, his glory, but for what? His saving his people from their sins. You see, this is why Jesus three times took his disciples aside on the way up to Jerusalem to explain this to them over and over again. The very essence of the mystery. He is that mystery. His sufferings, his death, his resurrection. And Gabriel got it. He got it, didn't he? Saving his people from their sins. Christ, salvation from sin in his person, is so plain. And yet it is a mystery. It is a mystery that the mind of man cannot penetrate. It is a mystery into which angels long to look. And they cannot penetrate in. They cannot get it. But Jesus says, to you, it has been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. It is possible for you this evening to know that secret. This is the problem with the one who is on the rocky ground. They don't know this, and yet they think they do. Is that you? Do you think you understand this mystery? Do you think that what God calls a mystery is actually very straightforward and obvious? And of course, in a sense, it is. But I ask you, has God given to you to know this? Has he given it to you, or have you worked it out? Because, friend, if you think you've worked it out, you haven't. He must give it to you. It's like, imagine the father who has a wife who's pregnant, and he knows he's a father. You can sort of tell when that happens, can't you? He knows he's a father. We can sort of see it happening. And yet, does he know? Does he really know until he holds that child? I've had that experience myself. This thing happens to you, and suddenly you're holding the child, and you think, I'm a father. So it is with the gift of the knowledge of this mystery. You've got to hold it. You've got to have it. Otherwise, you just don't know it. Well then, how may this mystery be known? How may this mystery be known? That was what the mystery is. Christ in his death and resurrection. But how may it be known? How may you this evening know this mystery? Notice in this parable how fruit and understanding, how fruit and knowledge are intimately connected. How if you don't understand, you don't bear fruit. How if you don't know this, you don't bear fruit. And there's several examples of ways in which you cannot understand, in which you cannot know. States of heart, if you will. And here we find one. Verse 20, the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy, and here's the bit, yet he has no root in himself and is temporary. You hear those two things? No root and being temporary. That is the opposite of what it is to know and understand. So as we come to look at what it means to know and understand, we're going to consider the opposite of those things, because that is what it means to know and understand, to have a root and to be not temporary, but permanent, forever. Well, that doesn't sound like knowing, does it? That sounds odd. But this is exactly the knowing that the scriptures speak of. They speak of knowing in this sense, like the father holding the child. It is much more than the mind. It's the whole being. It's to have something and to be something. So those two things. First, to have something. Such a person has a root. Has a root. Sure, you've seen that in your gardens, where you think you've killed the thing, but you've not. Because there's a root, isn't there? Hiding, lurking away. That's what a root is. It's a store of life and strength. To know is to have life within you. To know is to have life within you. To know is to have the life of Christ within you. To have Jesus Christ himself in you. To be united to him in his death, so that your guilt and sin is taken down into the grave with him. And to be united with him in his resurrection, so that his life is in you. Christ calls himself, Revelation chapter 22, verse 16, I am the root and the descendant of David, the bright morning star. I am the root. I am the source of life and light. To know the mystery is to have Christ within your heart, to have the life of Christ inside of you. He is the root that you need, if you will know this. To be something, to have the root, to be something, to be permanent, to be changed. This is foundational to knowing the truth. You must actually be changed. You must be changed from something that is temporary. A life which is fading away into nothing. But it's worse than nothing. Because the life that you think you have, the life that is set on your own gain, it doesn't fade away to nothing. Fade away it does, but it fades away to the throne of God and his judgment. It fades away to hell What would it be to think that you had been so close to the kingdom of heaven? To think that you had been so close to the Lord Jesus Christ? To think that, if we may say so, you could feel his breath on your face, because here you are, listening to his voice in the scriptures, seeing his people, seeing the power of his spirit at work amongst us, and yet not have him to be temporary. The life, the weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth that will be, to think that you'd come so close but not had that which was free, that which was offered to you, you didn't take. Well, not to be that, not to be temporary, but to be permanent. This life which is given, this root which is placed within oneself, the life of Christ within, is a permanent life. It is to be changed fundamentally into his image. That his life would be in you, and his resurrection life is an eternal life. It's a life that goes on and on and on. He was raised from the dead to defeat death. Was it for you? Was it for you that you might be changed? So we might conclude this then, that to know the mystery is to actually possess it, to actually possess that mystery. And that in possessing it, you would actually be changed by it. The mystery is Christ. Jesus Christ and him crucified. To have that and to be changed by it. This is what it means to know. To you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of heaven. This is what Christ means. This is what he means. He means to have me in you, to be changed because of that. It's incredible. How on earth could God accomplish this? John the Baptist knew it. When they were all coming out to him to be baptized, what did he say? After me comes one whose sandals I'm not worthy to carry. He will baptize with the Holy Spirit and fire. It takes the third person of the Godhead, God himself, to do this. It's so personal. It's so intimate. It's so fundamental to our nature. It's not delegated. God himself does it. And he can do it to you. He can do it to you if you will come. If you will come to the Lord Jesus Christ. People came to John the Baptist. What is he saying? He's pointing to Christ. He's saying, go to him and be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Be changed. Receive the knowledge of the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. This person with a rocky, stony heart, you need to go to him and to be plunged beneath him and to be changed. So the mystery is Christ. To know the mystery is to actually possess and be changed by the mystery. But finally then, and here's the question. Here's the question. Here's the application of all of these things. Have I? How do I know? Am I like this one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy? And yet, if tribulation or persecution were to come, I would just fall away. Am I that person? Do I actually know the mystery? Well, I suggest to you that there is a balance with which you must weigh yourself this evening. We have seen that such a person is set on their own gain. Here is the balance. Is Christ an addition to your life? Or is he your life? The two are very similar, but they are fundamentally different. Would you weigh yourself this evening by these things? Jesus said, whoever would come after me must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. There are countless people in this world who think that they're following Jesus, but they have not done that. They have not taken hold of Christ and said, you are my life. I don't want anything to do with my own way any longer. You are my life. And no doubt there are people in this room who, if only you could see into your heart, you would see that you are just adding to your life rather than taking hold of Christ, denying yourself, taking up your cross and following after him. Will you weigh yourself by this? Such a person here in this verse is happy. They are content. They think they have it, and yet they don't, because they will not do the command of God. They will not obey him. They will not humble themselves. They will not deny themselves and go in the way of death and of suffering. As soon as the tribulation, as soon as the persecution comes, as soon as the world begins to press in and they begin to be pursued, they will not deny themselves. They will not take up the cross. They will not follow after Christ. And so they fall away. But if you have the knowledge, then as the world presses in around you, for that is what tribulation means, to be pressed in, to be backed into a corner because you believe the word, because you say, I am one of Christ's. He is my life. Well, then as you are pressed in and you see no worldly escape, then the root springs forth, doesn't it? Christ in you. There is an opportunity to exercise faith. You believe his promises. You put your trust in him. So far from causing you to fall away, the pressing in actually strengthens and increases your life. Like those bushes that you cut back and they seem to just grow back thicker and thicker and thicker. So it is if you have the root, this true knowledge within you. And as you are pursued, as you are pressed in, if you have this knowledge, being something different, being something forever, what happens? But you gladly suffer with Christ. You gladly bear his reproach as they look on you. They hate him. And you suffer with him to know the fellowship of his sufferings, said Paul. To know the fellowship of his sufferings and to set your hope on heaven, to realize that you've denied yourself. This is not me anymore. As Paul says, the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God. This is the Christian life, to deny yourself, take up your cross and follow him. So far from selfish gain is this. It is impossible unless God gives you that gift. Fellowship with Christ, the strengthening of faith, not falling away. So will you weigh yourself this evening? Will you weigh yourself and see whether you do indeed perceive, whether you do know, whether it has been given to you to know this? Well, very lastly, I'm sure there must be those of us who think, well, that's not me. Well, just for a moment, just consider Peter. Consider Peter. Now, I wonder if you would rank yourself more highly than Peter in terms of your ability to perceive spiritual truth, to understand the mysteries. No doubt you wouldn't do that. And what happened to Peter? What happened to Peter? Well, the very thing that's promised here of the person of the stony ground, the stony heart, he fell away. He fell away. In the moment of Christ's suffering, and persecution. Rather than looking at that, rather at looking at what Christ was doing and saying, this is God's hand. Remembering Isaiah saying, it was the will of the Lord to crush him. He has put him to grief. Rather than looking on the cross and thinking, the Lord has laid upon him the guilt of us all. Rather than seeing that, he fled. He fell away. But Christ mentions it no longer, does he? He welcomes him back in. Come, he says, come. These things are not hard. They're not heavy, impossible to bear. My burden is easy. Come and receive from me. Come and take freely. This man Peter, who had stabbed him in the back, who was blind as anything in this respect, said, come. This is who Christ is. He is gentle and he is lowly. He will welcome you if you come to him this evening, and he will give you this, the greatness of this gift. He will just lay it in your lap. And friend, he has done that this evening, has he not? He has laid in your lap the word of the kingdom. Infinite, eternal possibility of glory right in your lap. And it's there for you. If only you would just come to him, he will give to you all of this knowledge and far beside. To you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. For to the one who has, more will be given, and he will have an abundance. My friends, if you have it, you will have an abundance. Come to him again. Come and have this mystery in yourself, which is called, isn't it, by the apostle, Christ in you. The hope of glory. This is the mystery. Christ in you, the hope of glory. This is what Jesus is driving at in this parable, that you would have this, but you have to come to him. You have to come to him or you will not have it. You have to come to him and have him give it to you. You cannot think it up yourself. You cannot work it yourself. The mystery is Christ. The way to know it is to actually possess it and to be changed by it. You must deny yourself and take up your cross and follow him if you would have it. Friends, just come to him and have it this evening. Amen.